Welcome to the Try Self-Love podcast. I'm your host, Becky Barber, and I'm a master life and relationship coach.
I'm your host, Kristen Dicker, and I'm a transformational health and wellness life coach.
If you're curious about what self-love is, you've come to the right place.
Each week, we'll dive deeper into the steps it takes to develop self-love. Here we go. Hi. Hey, Becky, how are you? Welcome, everybody, to the Try Self-Love podcast. This is our third episode, and today we want to talk about feelings that are related to the way we think and that portion of, you know, what we do with our feelings and how they're kind of like the GPS for our lives, and how denying our feelings and suppressing our feelings doesn't really solve the problem for us. And getting through the feelings and then changing the way you're thinking can really, really help you get out of a rut. So how are you doing today, Becky?
I'm good. Yeah, I was thinking about our episode last week, and we mentioned, you know, you want to get a hold of your thoughts, but feelings are a little easier to grab onto. So I think this is an important episode to help people get out of the judgment of themselves and be more curious. Like, why am I feeling this way? What thoughts have led to these feelings? And you really have to feel those feels first before you can talk yourself. I mean, not that you want to talk yourself out of them, but you need to feel the feels first before you can process them and move through them.
Right, right. Definitely. It's really, really, I find it to be very important. And when I work with people, that seems to be a big issue with people, is this idea that, you know, it happened so long ago, I'm over it. You know, it wasn't their fault. They didn't know better. Okay. All of which is true. You know, people don't know that they're hurting you, and it was a long time ago. But time does not necessarily heal all wounds. I do not believe that that is true. It is focusing on what's going on inside of you, feeling your feelings. That might take some time, and that might have to take some time to heal all wounds. But, you know, 30 years in length doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be over it. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, like, we are not robots. God created us to have feelings. And so we need to feel those feelings. And the more you deny them, the bigger they get. So as we learn more about, like, grabbing onto those feelings and examining them and then going back to the thoughts that created them, then we look at those thoughts. Is this true? Is it not true? Is it something that I want to think? What do I want to think instead? But like you said at the beginning, like, those feelings really clue us into what's going on in our heads. So you've got to have those feelings. You've got to allow them. And we don't, though. We tell ourselves, I shouldn't be feeling this way. It's stupid. We shouldn't, you know, she said this, but it's okay. It doesn't have to hurt my feelings. Like, why can't I get over this? But really, like you were saying, we need to get into those feelings and feel them before we can get over them. So this episode, Kristen is going to coach me a little bit on something that happened to me over the weekend. And this is going to be a little sneak peek for our listeners of what a coaching session looks like. We're going to move a little bit faster because I've already examined my feelings. And so in a normal coaching session, it would be a little longer, but we want to keep our episodes brief. We know everyone's really busy. So this will be a little sneak peek into what coaching with Kristen is like.
Great. I'm so excited. This is going to be fun. So, okay. So Becky, first of all, tell me a little bit about what's been going really well for you in the past week or so.
So the past week has been busy. My kids finished school today, so I felt like I was pretty organized. I had a lot that I wanted to get done before summer truly began officially, and I was able to do that. So I was happy with the things that I did get done.
Okay. And how did you feel otherwise? What else has been going on? Anything challenging coming up for you lately? Maybe around the school or things happening?
Well, Sunday was my hard day in the last week. My littlest was sick, and it was on Sunday. I had a lot planned. I work with the youth in my church, and so we were going to celebrate the seniors that were graduating. I'd made cookies and brownies, and I was going to bring them in, and we were going to have this little celebration. And my little one was sick, and I don't know why. I was really feeling anxious about missing that and letting everybody else down. But then I didn't want to miss being with her and helping her and letting her down. So it was just a struggle this weekend.
So you said that you were feeling anxious, right? Is that what you were saying? And you feel like you were letting people down?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And so what were some of the thoughts you were thinking? Were the thoughts about letting people down, or what were they, what do you think they were? Did you, were you able to track that at all?
So Monday is when I was really able to process everything. Sunday, I just kind of was in survival mode. Like, it was such a busy day and I was really preoccupied with taking care of her. And then Monday, I was like examining what I had been telling myself. And I call it like bringing up your greatest hits. Like, when you're mad at yourself or you feel disappointed, and then like every bad thing you've ever done in your life is like, I want to join the party. And then like, you just play these greatest hits in your head over and over. And that's what I was doing. It was like, you're such a bad mom. Why were you upset about missing that party? Isn't your daughter more important? Like, I couldn't be both, right? For some reason, my inner bully was like, well, a good mom would just graciously sacrifice that and not be upset at all. And then it was like, you are a terrible mom. You don't spend enough time with her. She had to get sick to get your attention, which isn't true, but that's what I was spinning in on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So you had all those inner critic telling you that how bad of a mom you are, and that, and you just should feel so guilty, and you should just, you know, you're just such a disappointment and a letdown, you know, all the things that ever,
yeah, every bad thing I've ever done,
putting words into your mouth. So tell me if I'm wrong, but it's like that pile on, right?
Yep.
Of just like everything, like you said, you're the greatest hits. I like that.
That's what I call it with my clients.
It's so true. It's so true, isn't it? But sometimes the pile-on is nice, because I find, because that kind of gets you into the real feelings, you know, it helps them come up. As long as, like what you said was on Monday, you kind of had a little of a deconstruction. You were able to sort of look at it and say, well, what's real and what's not real? Is that kind of what happened, or what happened on Monday after you went through that?
Monday was, I didn't get my day of rest, which is usually Sunday. So instead I was like, you know what, I'm going to take today easy. And so I gave myself a little space to just rest, because I didn't get that rest. And that was when I was like, what have I been telling myself? I'm not a bad mom. I don't ignore my kids. I'm usually very attentive. And why couldn't I be sad about missing that celebration? I really love these youth that I get to work with, and I wanted to celebrate them. So I was able to sit in the sadness instead of that anxiety of feeling like I was letting everybody down, because I wasn't. My husband brought the treats that I had made. Like, everyone got their treats. The other leaders were there. They took over for me. They understood. So I was able to just dial down all that noise and just say, no, I'm okay. And I showed up and I was with my daughter and I cuddled her all day and read her books and helped her feel better. And she's feeling better and we're good.
Great. Now, I love that. I love how you started to reframe the way you were thinking. So you didn't really have to change what happened. Is what happened was what happened in that moment. And it reminded you of all the other times things like this have happened, sounds like. But you were able to process that. You didn't ignore your feelings. You were able to really, really be there with them. And at the same time, you were able to remind yourself, hey, I'm not a bad mom. I'm a really good mom, actually. And things worked out just fine. And how do you feel now after you were able to do that a little bit?
Oh, I feel relief. The old me just would have spun in this, and I just would have been upset with myself for so long, even though I had done like the repair work, right? I feel like 99% of the time, I do my best with my family, and it's the 1% that stays on my heart. It's like, nope, not good enough. And that's kind of a mantra that was given to me in my family of origin, not good enough. And I fight that a lot. But when things are stressful, all those messages just come back so fast with full force. So it's important to be able to dissect that. And I've kind of, Monday and Tuesday was like, oh, I should. There's that should again. I should have been able to do this faster. But sometimes you can't. I was just trying to, I was trying to run from those feelings, I guess. And then when I gave myself that space to examine and say, no, that's not true. Like, I feel better.
Yeah, that's, that can be really difficult to do that. And it's, and I'm proud of you that you had that awareness that you were able to step back a little, pause. You know, when we pause, we have choice, right? So you were able to like actually assess the situation from a different point of view. And that's how we change. And that's, it's hard to change. And especially the family of origin and the identity we, that was created when we were really little, it's hard to change that. But you were able to, you've done enough inner work now at this point that you were able to sort of, you know, get it put back together a little bit faster. And the 1% is the 1%. And yeah, when stress comes, it is going to come flooding back. That's something that's always probably going to happen. It's just the messaging that's been programmed. So it's a matter of sort of just going, okay, wait, I know this is happening. It's, this happens. And I'm just going to do the thing. I'm going to step back. I'm going to take that pause. I'm going to breathe. You know, I'm going to do the things that you can do to come up with some different solutions, right? Because in that moment, that was the best solution that you had at that moment, but now you've found another solution. So that's amazing. Go ahead, please.
I do want to say to you and to our listeners, like, I don't think I'm a perfect mom. When I say 99%, I think that's good enough. I believe in good enough parenting, not in perfection. So I'm not saying I'm 99% perfect. I'm just 99% good enough.
And that's wonderful. And also just celebrating the fact that you are a great mom, because you are, is okay. You know? So that's, so remembering that too. Yeah, of course.
I love my kids so much. Yeah. I love being a mom, and I love being their mom.
So in this moment, as their mom, you are perfect just the way you are. Even if you're not perfect by everyone else's standards, you're perfect.
Okay.
But you're probably perfect by everyone else's standards. But yeah, I think it's a lot of that kind of talk that we can do instead of the, I'm such a bad, I'm not good enough, blah, blah, blah. This is to go down that track. It's kind of like, how can I sort of be in this new, you know, higher affirmation and actually start to believe it? Even if I have things kind of objecting and going, I don't think that's true. Because remember on Thursday, you didn't get the dry cleaning. You forgot to make him dinner.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, well, for the most part, I'm doing pretty darn well. I'm hitting it home most of the time. No, not all the time, and that's okay. And I think even just, but see, when you say that to yourself and you have some objection about it, mm-hmm. that's when it's like, well, but, you know, I know that's okay. Have the objection, feel the objection's pain. It might just be telling you, I have to be perfect. They said I have to be perfect. And I feel like a really bad person if I'm perfect. You know, whatever the objection, the part of you that's objecting is feeling, that's an opportunity to get closer to yourself in self-love by just exploring that part, you know, and like talking to it and like finding out how it feels and crying with it or, you know, hitting the wall with it or whatever you need to do. Because once that part is okay and feels safe again, it starts to jump back into alignment with you. And then you can go on knowing that you are perfect, just exactly who you are and where you are right now. Does that help?
Yeah, I don't know. I have issues with that word perfect, but I know what you're saying. And I definitely, I am trying to talk to myself the way that I would a friend or even a client or even a stranger. Like, mm-hmm. you're a good person. You're trying your best. Your daughter's okay. She knows you love her. You know, it's those kind of things that we say to ourselves instead of, what is wrong with you? Why can't you be better? What is your problem? Get over it. Like, that does not help. But treating ourselves the way we would a friend, I think that's the key to self-love and self-compassion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think I see what you're saying about the stigma of the word perfect. It can be triggering for people. But it's important for us to find our own language too. Whatever words work for us specifically to help us heal, great. It doesn't have to be my word. It should be your word. I hear what you're saying about the perfect word.
My problem with the word perfect is we live in this world where it's like social media and everything is just cropped just so you don't see the mess in the background, right? You just see the quote unquote perfection. And that just sets people up to be disappointed and resentful, and like their life hopes and dreams don't matter because they don't measure up to some fake image that they're seeing. So good enough is what I say. You're good enough.
Well, and especially if you had the message of I'm not good enough when you were little, the good enough is probably very powerful for you, is it?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm really glad that you were able to work yourself through, to sit with yourself after you felt like so bad on Sunday, and to take space and time to feel and think about what you were going through, step back and like reframe that. That's a beautiful process. I'm really glad that you were able to do that. How do you think you could make this inevitable for you that in the future, it doesn't, something like this doesn't happen, or it could happen again, but that you could handle it in this kind of beautiful way again? What could help, you think?
Yeah, I think it's unrealistic for anyone to say, I'm never going to go into this again, because we are human, right? Like, shame happens unless you're a sociopath. So setting myself up for success, if I could go back, I would give myself that space a little sooner.
Okay.
But that's not always, I feel like I take a little bit to clue in. You know, you can see it in other people so quickly, but in yourself, sometimes it takes a minute. So I guess I would, if I could. Well, I don't have a time machine, so this looking back with regret is never good. But forward thinking, I would try and give myself more space and more grace.
Wonderful. I like that because, yeah, like being in that space of, you know, like in a space now of like, I don't know what's down the road and it's okay. I'll figure it out when it comes and I'll do it the way I'm going to do it. And each time it happens, you'll probably find that you're doing it a little faster, a little better, you know, whatever better means to you. And you're doing it in a way that makes sense for you. And you're creating a whole new identity. You're creating new habits and patterns that you didn't do before. And once you do those enough, it's kind of who you become. So the way you did it before, you always have the choice to go back and do that, but you might not feel like you want to. The more we develop self-love, the less we really want to do the things that made us feel bad before. We just find new ways of doing and interacting and being that feel good, that give us energy and make us feel whole and happy and joyous and things like that. And so, you know, the old ways of doing things just aren't appealing anymore. So I think this is great that you have this awareness and that, you know, you're just going to keep, you know, doing your best every single minute. That's all we can do. And creating new habits of, well, next time I'll, you know, maybe step back again and pause and maybe I won't do it as quickly. Maybe I will. And it's okay. You know, I think that's half the battle, is telling ourselves it's okay if we mess up. Mistakes are okay.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, the repair work. So sometimes we do repair work with people that we've injured in some way, but I also think it's important to do repair work with yourself. Like, hey, I'm really sorry. I was just so critical of you all day yesterday. No wonder you felt anxious.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tell me one thing that came to you when you were either talking to me or yesterday or the day before when you were having these moments of sitting, having some clarity. What came to you about this in terms of like an aha moment or something?
I think it was that the anxiety that I felt, it was just because I was not listening to myself. You know, I spend so much time listening to so many people. And I'm a good listener, so I'm good at it, but I'm not always good at listening to myself. So that was a little clue, like, hey, next time you're anxious, just take a minute and listen to yourself. What do you need? It's not always about everybody else. You've got to take care of yourself too.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's really, really important and very profound. So one more thing is, what can you tell me that you appreciate about yourself, especially after this experience?
Whew, it's tricky sometimes, right? I appreciate that I am different than I was 10 years ago. and that there was a little inner critic, but I was able to pull out of it faster and even recognize it sooner. I don't think that would have happened 10 years ago. I would have just spun in it for a while. And nobody wants to be around that. You don't want to be around that with yourself, but then you also kind of spew that negativity on others too, whether or not you are aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's beautiful. I love that. That's a really good recognition in yourself. So I'm glad that you appreciate that. You are different from 10 years ago, and you're able to like stop this, the self-criticism and see it more clearly now and do something different and really just listen to yourself. And good job. I'm really proud of you. You've done a really good job.
Thank you, Kristen. Great job coaching.
Thank you.
So we want to thank our listeners for listening today. And as we delve deeper into the mechanics of self-love, we just wanted to offer to you this opportunity to change your inner voice, that inner critic, change the way you show up for yourself and for others, and to just, as always, try self-love. See you next week.
Bye.
If you like what you've been learning about self-love, come join us in our free Facebook group, Try Self-Love. We'd also appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That way your friends and family and others who need us can find us.
We're so glad you're here. See you next week.